This conference is being recorded.
Welcome to the Heart Start Call to the week of January 14th, 2008. Hard to believe we're 2 weeks into January already. And tonight's Heart Start Call, we're going to talk about the power of the heart to harness the power of anger. You can hear the little mischievous chuckle and twinkle in my eye as I say that, can't you? This is an area that I have particular expertise in as a flaming redhead. My name is Sheva Kaur, and I'm the CEO of a company called Fiera, which is interesting because anger I usually associate with fiery energy. And whenever, often people will say, Fiera, what does that mean? Is that like fire? So anger is in the ancient Vedic traditions and Chinese traditions, mostly the Vedic, I should say, associated to fire, as is passion and enthusiasm and confidence and energy, vitality, digestion, compassion, even as a fire quality, presence. So I really like looking at it that way, because if you see anger as just energy, not as good or bad, but just a type of energy, like fire is a type of energy. Well, a fire in a fireplace or at a campfire is fantastic. It's great. It warms your cold toes. It roasts your marshmallows and your s'mores. And a fire that is raging through the San Diego Mountain, or I don't even know what's there, the San Diego area, with just like wildfire or Malibu Hills burning down houses out of control. Well, that can be problematic, right? So it's really the same thing with our anger, and anger has gotten kind of a funny combined rap in our culture, where either it's glamorized into something that we need to express and indulge and pound pillows to get our feelings out, or as something, you know, unspiritual and bad and wrong that we need to never have. And both of those things are idealisms that really cut us off from what anger could bring us. And it kind of entrap us in the destructive qualities of it. So anger has been a huge issue in my life from the time I was born, because I lived in a family of redheads, and so we had all the dimensions of fire in our house full on: passion, confidence, wild ambition and creativity, and also a lot of the distortion of fire energy, the anger and the frustration and the pent-up resentments and irritation, annoyance. So being around that and experiencing that inside myself and not knowing how to manage it, you know, I had such a temper when I was a little kid. I karate chopped my own canopy bed, broke it in half when I was 13 years old, because I thought that, being valedictorian, I was told that I wouldn't have to take my final exam course, which were like, I don't know, 4 to 6 hours long. I hated taking exams. And because I was going to be gone for a week in New York, the teachers told me that I would have to take these final exams. And I got so angry. I came home and I karate chopped my own bed. And that was very characteristic of me, actually. I mean, at one point I threw an entire watermelon at my brother. And it shattered all across the wall. So I can laugh about it now, but in truth, growing up, I always perceived myself to be this incredibly gentle, loving, sweet little girl with, you know, two red braids and Laura Ingalls Wilder dimples and freckles. And so I couldn't understand why people would react to me in this kind of either aggressive or judgmental or alienating way. And It took me years to really get clear that I had all this pent-up anger inside that was coming out in ways that I was completely unaware of and causing reactions in people that I didn't understand because I didn't know I was acting that way. And so that brought me a tremendous amount of depression over the years because I didn't understand why people were responding to me the way they were, and I didn't know how I was acting with them, and so I felt insane. I just felt cut off from life, and I would sink into these deep states of self-judgment, self-alienation, and depression, which is anger imploding or anger being suppressed and pushed down. So it was like I felt for many years growing up like I was in this horrific catch-22 where I couldn't win either way. Like if I expressed my anger, I was rejected and caused harm. And if I suppressed and imploded my anger, then I either got sick to my stomach or depressed and lethargic and resigned, bored. So there was like, I felt completely trapped by this. Like there was nothing I could do. And some of you who are listening have heard sort of the larger context of, you know, the unfoldment of my journey without going into that because you can hear that ad nauseum on other HeartStart calls. And also if you want to tap into the beginner webinar that we teach, which I'll talk more about tonight, you can watch the first part for free and it tells the whole story. I eventually found my way to this research institute called HeartMath, who had been for a few years when I found them, which was now almost 15 years ago, researching the physiology of stress and how to transform it. And so really early on, one of the first things, as a matter of fact, now that I'm thinking of it, the very first tool that I applied when I learned heart math was to manage my anger. I remember this vividly. I'd just taken my first heart math seminar. So here they discovered the source of stress and its negative impact on our system and created this system of tools and this program and training for people to be able to transform that in themselves and in their own lives without any drug intervention or anything like that, just simply cognitively and using various step-by-step methods, using breathing and heart rate monitors and things like that that help you really master your own emotions. Because what they discovered is that stress is not circumstances. We all know that intuitively because, you know, one day something will just roll off my back like, you know, water off a duck. And on another day, if it's the last straw, it'll trigger my anger, right? So it's something happening in me, not in my environment, which is really good news because that means that I can have some power over it. I can have some choice in the matter if it's happening inside me. So that's what I learned in this first one-day workshop that I had attended. I learned these heart math tools, and I came home, and being sort of the, you know, arrogant, audacious redhead that I was, I had borrowed my roommate's skirt and shoes without asking her permission to go to the workshop that day. Well, I came home, and she was furious with me. Now, my normal reaction would have been to go into a state of total entitlement or feeling owed. Like, well, I always borrow these things, and I always ask her, and she always says it's okay, so why should I go through the extra step of asking her? And I'm, you know, this kind of quality of entitlement and owed is living with that as an attitude towards life. It's a big anger trigger. It's just kind of like the people who are quick to anger tend to have a sense of entitlement rather than appreciation for the things that come their way in life. And it's unfortunate because appreciation is so good for you. And it makes you enjoy what you receive so much more than feeling like it's owed you. So one of the things I learned how to do was start removing my sense of entitlement, my sense of being owed things, and start appreciating them more and thereby giving them more respect. And so she blew up at me, and my habitual pattern was to go to my entitlement and blow back up at her, and I started doing that and started seeing that then we weren't going to talk to each other for a week, and I was going to cry and feel victimized, and I stopped. I think it was the first time in my life that I ever felt that I could actually just stop, that I had a choice, that I didn't have to do that. I could do that. I saw very clearly that I could do that, but I didn't have to do that. And so I just went to my heart. I don't even know that it was instead, right? Because at any moment I could have still exploded in anger. I just went to my heart for a moment, like, huh, is it possible there's a different way to respond to this than how I would normally respond? And it changed everything. And not only that, not only did it change how she and I interacted, I mean, the whole thing became no big deal. I was like, wow, you're right. I'm really sorry. I should have asked you. I'll do that next time. She was like, great. Thank you so much. Wow, that was easy. And ta-da. And then we were on to the next thing, and it was like, no drama. Amazing. It saved me and her so much energy. But then not only that, when I went to my heart, and I was using a tool at the time they called Freeze Frame, and that we teach in our beginner webinar, which, by the way, here at Fiera, there's a beginner webinar running right now, but it's not too late to hop into it. So if you're interested in doing that for any reason, it continues tomorrow night, and I can get you a recording of last week's call. You can contact me at 310-581-1507 if you want to hop into that beginner webinar that's running currently. You can also email us. Sheva, S like Sam, H, E like elephant, V like victory, A, at Fiera, F like fantastic, Y-E-R-A.com. And there will be more information, too. There's a workshop this coming Saturday, I just realized as well, if you'd rather learn this stuff in person. So I was using a tool called Freeze Frame and Perception Shift in that moment, in which you actually activate a quality of appreciation for someone or something, and we're going to do that together here in a minute. You activate a quality of appreciation for someone or something in your life that could even be independent of what's making you angry in that moment. And so the person that I appreciated was my brother. Total random thing. I barely ever talked to my brother. It just came up. I appreciated my brother in that moment. It helped me get more clarity, and I'm going to lay out for you tonight, hopefully, as much as I can about the physiology of why that happens, what anger does to our brain, to our sense perceptions, to our nervous system, our immune system, our hormones, and how being able to thread anger through the eye of the needle of the heart to harness its power into a more congruent form of energy changes how that whole body of physiology works and thereby changes the outcomes and the situations that you're in. So I appreciated my brother in that moment, got high access to my higher brain, because when we're angry, we shut our brain down. Healed things with my roommate, and 5 minutes later, my brother called me for the first time in like 6 months. I was like, whoa, this stuff works. But it wasn't even like woo-woo or magic. It was just I realized all this pent-up energy I'd held inside myself as anger, when it translated into care for people I loved, it made magic happen in my life. The anger itself wasn't even bad. It was like compost to grow stuff in. And that's what I'd like to teach you to be able to do tonight. We will open up the call at the end for questions and for any stories of your own that you'd like to share. That was obviously my first little moment of applying heart math in my life almost 15 years ago. And I guess you could say that I've been addicted to it ever since. I have yet to see it not work. That ability to stop and choose a different way from the heart's perspective has been, I think, the most powerful thing I've ever experienced in my own life. And when I say powerful, we know from a science perspective it's not just an experiential power, it's literal. They can actually measure the electrical power output of your body through your heart. And in the little invite that went out for today, I showed you a graph of the power spectrum of anger versus the power spectrum of relaxation and appreciation. And much to many people's surprise, anger has the same power spectrum. In other words, it's as powerful as relaxation. No more. So in terms of power, which is the ability to get things done, the ability to do work, the ability to have impact, anger is not so effective. However, if we are angry and we suppress it, well, that's going to be worse. So what do we do with this catch-22? And that's where the power of the heart comes in and the remarkable research from HeartMath. So I absolutely fell in love with their work, and fast forward 15 years, started a company called Fiera to be able to bring their tools, their research, their technologies to individuals like you listening to this call, either live tonight or as a recording. And so I encourage, even if you're listening to this as a recording, you can call us or email us with your questions, or really welcome you to become a part of the Sierra family and community, because we're so lucky to have this access portal to this incredible body of research. And the word Sierra essentially is a great feeling. It's how you feel when you're in alignment with yourself. So point to yourself for a second and just notice where you're pointing. If you're like 99.999% of the people I've met all around the world from every age group, when you point to yourself, you're pointing to the heart. So when I say self, I'm talking about the heart as it relates to all of life, as it touches every aspect of your being. And so being in alignment with yourself is being in alignment with the heart. And that turns out to be scientifically measurable. That's one of the hardest things you've ever heard. I just thought that was amazing to find out that you could actually measure how in alignment with your heart you are, in your attitudes, in your emotions, in your approach to whatever it is you're facing. And you can see that on a biofeedback technology we offer here through Fiera, called the M-Wave PC for your computer, or the M-Wave handheld that you can carry around in your purse. So Fiera, the official definition, is that great feeling when you are in alignment with yourself and you're experiencing an inner knowing that nothing and no one can take away from you. The feeling you get when your arms fly up over your head and a yes to life flies out of your mouth. That is a fiery, passionate, at the same time deeply contented and peaceful feeling. It is the feeling of having order in your heart rhythm. That's the key piece of science that the researchers at HeartMath discovered and that they taught me about and taught me how to create at will in that workshop I took the day I borrowed my roommate's shoes and skirt. No matter what was going on in my life, and I mean no matter what, I actually teach soldiers being deployed to Iraq how to keep order in their heart rhythm in combat zones. So we're not kidding when we say this happens independent of circumstances. And so for me, anger was one of my biggest obstacles to experiencing Fiera, because the minute my anger was triggered, sayonara, Fiera. And so I really had to learn how to be with anger, because one of my biggest challenges was judging myself for getting angry. Oh, I'm a bad person. I'm not a spiritual person. I'm a cruel person. I'm a mean person. And then I'd go into a state of shame and self-pity, which completely cuts you off from Fiera, cut me off from Fiera. And so I had to unwind that whole cycle and that whole mess. And my hope tonight on this Heart Start call, which these are calls that we do every week if you're a first-time listener, every Monday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, we talk about the power of the heart as it can transform, transcend, and enhance your life and its obstacles in a variety of different contexts. So last week we talked about the power of the heart to heal from sexual abuse and childhood trauma. And so tonight we're talking about how it applies to anger. And so being able to meet this catch-22 where you can't suppress it and you can't really indulge or express it without seeming to cause harm, what do you do with it? And the first thing I'm going to say that we're going to do with it tonight is appreciate it. Appreciate anger. Okay, that sounds like an oxymoron, but we really are. Because anger is a form of intelligence. So here's what I'd like you to do. Let's start in the heart. Just focusing your attention on the area around your heart. And allowing the breath to come in through the area around the heart. And out through the area around the heart. And in through the area around the heart. And out through the area around the heart. And letting go of our conversation for a moment, just to land present right here. I want you to just recall or activate a sense of appreciation for something or someone you're grateful for. And breathe that gratitude or appreciation in through the heart and out through the heart. Or it could be someone you care about. HeartMath research, the key piece of research that put them on the map, was the discovery that feelings like appreciation, gratitude, and care create a unique ordered pattern in the heart, which has a power output, by the way, that's more than 6 times more powerful than anger or relaxation. Like if you were to take an incandescent light bulb, which is a kind of chaotic patterned frequency, and hone it into a laser, which would be an ordered pattern, like what care and appreciation does to your heart, that light bulb would become a laser. Same wattage, like average 40-watt light bulb, would be able to reach and penetrate the sun from whatever room you're in, if it were a laser, with sufficient coherence or order. So a caring and appreciative heart, literally electrically speaking, has much more power in hurts than an angry or relaxed heart. So just tapping your own sense of gratitude or appreciation for something or your own sense of care right now is tapping true power. And from that place of gratitude or appreciation, I'd like you now to just ask yourself for one or two or three things you could appreciate about your own anger. Just allowing whatever comes to mind to be there. Anybody want to share what shows up? You don't have to, but if there's something, you're welcome to. What can we appreciate about anger?
I'll share.
Okay.
This is Lori Santos from North Hollywood.
Hey, Lori.
Hi, how are you?
Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me. It's interesting because I actually had a very angry situation occur today. So when you asked that question, for a moment I was like, gosh, what can I appreciate? And the first word that popped into my mind was passion, that if I'm angry about something, it's because it's accessed something I care about. It's accessed passion in me, and my temper can be fiery. So I know I'm very alive around the issue. But it also taps into fear, and while that might sound like something, wow, how can you appreciate fear? I actually can appreciate the fear because usually I learn from it. There's a lot of nuggets inside the fear. So I'm grateful for the fear because I know it's going to teach me something. And the third thing is power. I want to view my anger as powerful, not in that I want to hurt somebody else, but in that it can teach us, if it's me and somebody else that are having an argument, for instance, it can teach us something about ourselves, and that's very powerful if we can look at ourselves as a student in that particular situation who's willing to learn, then I view that knowledge as very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you so much. And in particular, thank you for the first piece of what you shared. Because the beauty of anger is that behind it is love.
Yeah.
Usually anger is trying to protect something it cares about or get a need met for someone, something that it cares about. So behind it is always some quality of care and protection and love. The tragedy of anger, you're absolutely right, it can teach us about ourselves, but not when we're angry. It's impossible to learn when you're angry. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to illustrate the intelligence of what anger is by looking at it just from the physiology of what anger does and where it comes from. So we can appreciate it for what it is, not glamorize it for what it's not, and be able to respond more intelligently to it when it arises. How does that sound?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a notebook and a pen, here's what I'm going to ask you to do, just so that you can have some visuals with this, and if you don't, then you can imagine this in your mind's eye. So at the top of a piece of paper, what I want you to do is just draw a really chaotic, scribbly, up and down, jagged line halfway across the page. And then underneath that, what I'd like you to do is draw a coherent sine wave that's even rolling hills and valleys up and down all the way across the page. Just the gradual hills and valleys all across the page. Now, the top line that you drew is the impact that anger has on the heart rhythm. And the bottom line that you drew, the coherent, ordered sine curve, is the impact that care, appreciation, gratitude, fiera, which is passion and compassion and peace and contentment and joy, have on the heart rhythm. So, Lori, since you're playing along here, which one of those lines that you drew took more ink, the chaotic up and down squiggly one or the even sine curve?
I guess the first one, the uneven, the yucky line, if you will.
See, we were so quick to associate it as yucky, right, to label anger and all of it.
You're right. I was.
We to have that quick judgment of it, right? So let's see if we can stay neutral.
You're totally right. Good information. Good calling it out.
and just to examine this, just like you said, like a scientist, right, who's looking at yourself and learning and self-discovery. Okay, so the squiggly chaotic line, the incoherent line, we could call it, right, took more ink, right?
Yes.
And yet I told you to draw the sine curve all the way across the paper, right? So it took less fuel, but it went way further.
Yeah, that's interesting because the first line started sort of in the middle of the page and went up. I think it's actually longer. It's going up toward the page. And then the other is horizontal. And the paper itself that I'm using is like, think of a shopping list. Mm-hmm. So, even though it's shorter, it is more fluid. But I did spend, it seems like, more. It was fast when I wrote the first line, but it seems like because it took more ink, it did take more energy, in essence, for me to
That's
do
that. That's exactly right. So this is just kind of a visual connection to the fact that anger takes a lot more energy and gets us way less far.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That's the impact it has on heart rhythms, and the same is true for hormones. So why is that then? Why do we even use anger? Well, let's look for a moment at where anger comes from in the brain, how that interfaces with the heart and hormones and nervous system, and what its place is, what its intelligence is, and what it's not. Because, again, that will empower us to choose to use it when it's appropriate and harness and transform its energy when it's not the most efficient way to go about getting something done. That's real power, to have the power to choose how to respond instead of react, right? So the next thing I want you to draw on this notebook paper is three concentric circles. And those concentric circles are going to represent the way the brain works. We're actually three layers of the brain. So when a fetus is developing, it recapitulates evolution in the sense that, you know, you can't tell a cow fetus from a reptilian fetus from a human fetus on day one, right? They all start off the same. And then they keep evolving and evolving and evolving and adding different parts that differentiate them from each other, okay? So the human fetus develops per all of its ancestry. Starts out like a little fish or a single-celled organism, really, and keeps adding and adding and adding. So this is interesting. The first organ to form in the fetus is the heart. Science still doesn't know what initiates the first heartbeat because it happens long before the brain ever forms. The brain actually grows up and out of the heart. That's the way a fetus curves up. You know, it's kind of the fetal position. The head is growing out of the heart. And the first part of the brain to form, you could put as the inner circle on your paper. And we'll call this brain one, right? Is like the reptilian brain, if you will. And this brain is good for two things, really. Speaking now, giving you science in lay people terms, so we're oversimplifying a little bit here, but if you want more info on the science, you can definitely contact me and I can get it for you. So the lower brain, or the brain stem, which is now at your neck, is good for approach and avoidance. Basically, I will eat you, you will eat me, I'm running away, we will procreate together, I'm running back to you. So you think about lizards, right? They approach, avoid. They walk towards you, they back up. You run away. Approach, avoid. Approach, avoid. And we got on okay for a while in lizard land like that. And then mammals formed. And mammals added an addition to this home we call our brain, the second brain. So now the second concentric circle that you could draw, you could call brain two, or the mammalian brain, right? And this is where emotions came in. You guys know, like, lizard people don't have emotions. There aren't really any lizard people. But theoretically, lizards don't experience emotion the same way that human beings or even dogs and cats do, right? Your dogs and cats will show emotion. So emotion is a mammalian survival adaptation. And I'm going to say that again because that's probably the most important thing about this call on anger that I could tell you. Emotions appeared as a mammalian survival adaptation. The early emotions, not all emotion, but the early emotions. Emotions like fear, anger, jealousy, annoyance, irritation. Why are those survival adaptation emotions? Well, let's say yesterday I'm out with my cousin Harry and a tiger comes along and eats him. And now I feel, through a recorded emotional memory in a place in my midbrain or second brain called the amygdala, I feel fear when I see tigers and I feel anger. And fear and anger are designed to quick charge my autonomic nervous system, fill my body with adrenaline and cortisol, which is the stress hormone, which does many things. 1,400 different things happen in the body when I kick into fear and anger and go into that chaotic, crazy heart rhythm you scribbled on your paper. Among them being quicker clotting in my blood. Among them being shutting down of the third brain. The third brain being the higher cortex or the forehead, which is where we think, vision, dream, have verbal communication, learn new things. This is the brain that allows us to be having this conversation on a webinar or a teleclass. Okay, we shut that brain down. They can literally see it on a magnetic resonance imaging test in a hospital, that when you're distressed or angry, that brain seizes up, no blood flow, closes down. So we shut our higher intelligence and perceptual centers down. Our nervous system is activated. Cortisol comes on so we can clot our blood more. We pack weight on our waist and our hips. Our cholesterol goes up. Our immune system plummets for the long term because we hire all the troops to go straight to the front lines. Why is any of that a good idea? Why is it a good idea to shut down my higher brain? Why is it a good idea to elevate my cholesterol, to elevate my cortisol, to clot my blood quicker, to get fatter around my waist and my hips? Why are these things good? What's useful about that? Stunned silence. I know for a fact there's about 20 people at least on this call. Everyone's like,
I have survival in mind.
What was that?
I have survival in mind. It's about trying.
I was also thinking like a fight or flight fantasy. I mean, if you're like, you know, like back when we were cavemen and cavewomen, you know, there was a real just survival.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yesterday you ate my cousin Harry. Now, I don't want to turn around and have an intimate like group therapy session with you about how I feel about that. Or you're going to eat me. Right?
Right.
I'm going to shut down all the parts of my brain that could slow me down that way. So I can just hightail it out of there or eat you back. Whichever is the best option for keeping myself alive. And if you get a bite out of me, that extra blood clotting might keep me alive. Same with the cholesterol and the fat on the hips and waist. If I've got to run really far from a food source to get away from you, I'm going to be grateful I have a couple extra fuel tank packs on my hips, on my butt, to get me back to my tribe. This is the intelligence of anger. The bared teeth, you know, this is, it's so reliable for me now when I apply a heart math tool and I check with myself, I feel myself starting to go into a stress reaction, and the first thing I can feel is my jaw is ready to bite someone. So that's my first stress reaction cue. Everybody's got different ones, right, but that's mine. Because I go to anger, that's kind of my default. You know, everyone will have their own default setting, but immediately my jaw gets tight and I'm like, oh, I guess I want to bite the woman in the customs office. Somehow I don't think that's going to inspire her to want to send my shipment to Nicaragua without heavy-duty taxes. So this is really the point. Anger is part of our old survival physiology when we were living on plains, prairies, and in jungles. It helped us get our needs met there. It helped us keep our cubs alive. Helped us protect them and protect ourselves. It does not work so well in customs and immigration or in traffic on the 405. As a matter of fact, it backfires horribly there. And so we must have compassion for ourselves when our anger is triggered. Because it's not that we're bad people. It has nothing to do with that. It's simply that our bodies, our physiology, has not had a chance to evolve alongside and at the accelerated pace of our technology. So we're reacting to modern stressors, which are mostly psychological threats, as if they are physical threats from our ancestry living daily just to make it through the day to survive. And sadly, tragically for human species, this very system that was a survival adaptation and evolution at one point, a higher form of intelligence, is now making us stupid because it's shutting down our higher brain. So we're making dumb choices for ourselves and even internationally, short-sighted. It's also killing us. Excess cortisol has been found to be present in all of the modern heavy-hitting degenerative diseases, cancer, diabetes, heart disease. I mentioned in the invitation you guys received for tonight's call that my father, who was really quite thrilled by his own anger, I mean, he lived by it. There was not a night that we didn't come home where the TV was always on at the dinner table and he was screaming at the politicians on television that he was going to drop them in a boiling vat of flesh-eating acid. Now, I can laugh at it now because, you know, humor is also a transformation of anger. Humor is a fire quality. So there are, if we go back, Lori, to the squiggly, chaotic line you drew and the coherent, even line that you drew, both of those lines are made out of what?
Both of those lines are made out of, I'm going with love.
Okay, good. Well, you're way ahead of me because I'm thinking just ink.
Well, I said that because of what you were talking about earlier on the call and just a little bit of the work that I've done with anger, that I know obviously my compassion comes from a love place or a heart source, and as does my anger. In fact, I can draw upon my experience today with my argument with a friend, and instantly, of course, my heart is racing. So that's why I said they both were made from love.
Well, I'm so glad, actually, that you just brought that up as a small segue. You know, when you said, when you draw upon or remember the argument you had with your friend today, your heart starts racing right away.
Mm-hmm.
We know from studies done at HeartMath and elsewhere, just remembering an angry event produces all the same things in your physiology as being angry.
Totally. Absolutely.
So 5 minutes, they ran a study on immunity, and 5 minutes of remembering an angry event plummeted the immune system, and it didn't recover still for more than 6 hours later.
So unbelievable.
Whereas 5 minutes of care, or even just remembering or witnessing an act of generosity, increases and benefits immunity for more than 6 hours. So this gives us some interesting choice points, you see, because the way that anger compromises our immunity, you know, if you have a tiger about to eat you, you're not worried about cancer 40 years from now. You just need to do self-care right here, right now. Let's survive. But if that tiger is emails that are frustrating you that come in every 5 minutes, your body wasn't designed to live in that cortisol bath. Wasn't lived to design in stewing anger all day long. Or reliably every night at 6 p.m. when the politicians are speaking on TV. And so the very system in place to keep us alive is killing us. But the good news is it's made of the same stuff. Now, whether you call it love or ink on a piece of paper or just plain energy, anger is a distorted or chaotic, or we could just say, with zero morality attached, it is a survival-based form of what I would call fire. And there are thriving forms of fire. We touched on them in the beginning of the call. Care, compassion, enthusiasm, confidence, creativity, presence. These are all fire qualities as well. And anger has the potential to transform and feed those qualities in you when it's threaded into the coherence of the heart that creates that order in yourself and in your life around you. Then anger brings clarity and true power. And so what I'd like to do is make this practical for you. When the invitation, we gave you a couple of exercises. One of them takes a few days to do. So if you didn't get the invitation for some reason, or you don't have it there to read, you can write us to Sheva, S-H-E, V like Victory A, at Fiera, F like Fantastic, Y-E-R-A.com, and we can send you this list of exercises. But the exercise I'd like to talk us through right now is the compassion exercise from Sherry Palmer. Now, I'd like you to just call to mind, right? We've already activated a sense of appreciation. So we've buffered our immune system here a little bit. We can afford to call to mind someone or something that triggered anger for you that may be unresolved in your life. And I just want you to become aware of that person and your interaction with them. And the purpose of this exercise is to bring more compassion into the world. Now, from a Vedic point of view, compassion is the antidote to anger. Not only the antidote, but it's actually anger in its more clear or coherent or ordered form. So if you were to get on the M-Wave or the M-Wave PC and do what we call going to your heart, which we teach you how to do in the beginner webinar, then your anger would transform into compassion just through your own physiological coherence. And I'm going to give you this exercise in lieu of having that at the moment, just so you can have a taste of how this goes. So the objective of this exercise is to increase the amount of compassion in the world. And you are expected to experience greater peace from that. So now that you have your attention on this person that you may have unresolved anger with, or in my mom's case, it's her computer that she has unresolved anger with. I don't know if you can anthropomorphize your computer and apply this, but give it a shot, Mom. If not, then you could apply this compassion exercise to yourself and your frustration with your computer. So we're going to do all five steps with this same person. In step one, you're just going to say to yourself, just like me, this person is seeking some happiness for his or her life. Just become aware of that. And if it helps you, you could breathe through your heart while you think that just like me, this person is seeking some happiness for his or her life. And step two, just like me, this person is trying to avoid suffering in his or her life. Right? Their lizard brain is doing the approach avoid. And just like your lizard brain, it's programmed to avoid suffering. Step three, just like me, this person has known sadness, loneliness, and despair. These midbrain survival emotions, fear, anger, sadness, loneliness, despair. This person has experienced those things. And just like me, this person is seeking to fulfill his or her life. I didn't notice this before with this exercise, but it's emulating the evolution of the brain, right? The fulfillment. And just like me, this person is learning about life. So there's the higher brain, the third brain. They're looking for the gateway to get there, just like me. That's what this person is trying to understand and learn and be fulfilled in their life, too. And unlike you who are listening to this call tonight, this person that triggered your anger likely doesn't have access yet anyway to the tools that you are now receiving tonight, to the knowledge that when you activate simple gratitude in the heart, it opens up that higher brain where you can feel more fulfillment, where you can perceive things with greater clarity and learn from them. This person may be in a state where their brain is shut down. So even that alone can give you possibly more compassion for them, more forgiveness for their behavior when they don't know what they're doing, or for your own behavior when you feel angry. Being able to shift into that ordered rhythm in the heart and reopen up the higher brain, reversing the negative effects of stress and anger on the nervous system and on the hormones, on aging and on the brain and the immune system, not by shutting down anger, but rather by harnessing all the energy in anger and evolving it from its survival-based intelligence to a thriving-based intelligence of creativity and innovative problem-solving and communication. That's the potential that anger holds for us. And certainly we can go into greater depth in that in the webinars and workshops that we teach, but I wanted to offer this Heart Start call as a sampling, an appetizer, an hors d'oeuvre of what's possible, and give you some tangible, practical ways in your own life to start to access it. So again, after listening to this call, if you want more information on the biofeedback technologies, which, by the way, can be used, of course, with any technique you use yourself that's already working for you, you can go to our website, which is Fiera, F like fantastic, Y-E-R-A.com. Or you can call us here, 310-581-1507. We have a free beginner webinar coming up on early in February. You can register for that on our website. We also have an all-day workshop happening in L.A. this coming Saturday, and a currently running beginner webinar that's not too late to hop into. We also have a year-long program, which is my passion and my joy, called Heart Mastery, which gives you a lot of different resources, including lab testing, where we can test your neurotransmitters, your stress hormone levels, and really see what the balance is in there. Because one of the things that happens is people get addicted to their own anger, even just biochemically. And starting to understand that can give you more compassion for yourself, too. And we can help supplement with amino acids and things like that that help unwind those types of addictions so that you gain that power to consciously choose your response to life rather than just having your emotions run you ragged in reaction. So there's a lot of resources here, and I could go on and on, but I want to open up the call in case there are any questions about all that, or if any of you have any stories of your own that you want to share. Anybody?
Asha, this is Kansas.
Hey, darling.
I definitely jumped on this call because anger is something that I also have to deal with regularly. And it's something that it almost scares me when it comes because it's so uncontrollable, it seems, in a way. Like it
mm-hmm.
comes on so suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really, in the course of this call, also pinpointed that one of the things that obviously, it's always very love-based. But when you mention protection, I realize a lot of times it comes up because you're really trying either to protect another person or also trying to protect your own beliefs and the own
mm-hmm.
belief system. And the threat to that is definitely something that I believe comes up for me a lot. Phoenix is dealing with her anger right now. Sorry.
Hi, baby Phoenix Rose. Perfect timing for your anger.
Yeah. No, she just wanted to come up, but I just wanted to share that. And
I really appreciate that, Kansas.
My only question is, in the application of this in a daily life, even in the moment of a conflict, is like you had mentioned, to go to the heart and ask, like you did with your friend when you borrowed her things, is there a better response?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess just getting to that point, because sometimes everything escalates that you know, you become so incoherent that you can't help yourself, and that's where it's really frustrating.
Well, and that's where the classwork really helps, because what you want to do is start to condition your heart muscle and your nervous system to have coherence or order as a default setting, so that you're less likely to trip the switch of anger and more likely to see things with clarity and respond. It's very rare now for me to have anger as a kickstart response on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And usually now it's if I get really tired and some need or other that I have isn't being met. So then I go back into some old pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's survival-based because my body feels like its survival is, you know, not being taken care of. And so I can now avert having anger reactions just by basic self-care. But what you're talking about is so valuable because it's one of the places where we are quick to anger psychologically is in the protection of our own beliefs, in guarding our psychological identity the way that we were designed to guard our bodies. And it doesn't work. It backfires, right? And so the heart, you know, let me say it like this, actually. When we identify so much with our external beliefs as who we are, and then someone disagrees with that, it's easy to misperceive that as life-threatening because we think our beliefs are who we are. And yet, who you are, again, point to your heart. Your heart is here before beliefs take shape and long after they are dissolved, right? It became so clear to me when my grandmother had Alzheimer's and she forgot all her beliefs. She totally forgot her own personality, and yet her heart was right there. And, of course, Phoenix, you know, baby Phoenix didn't have beliefs the moment she popped out, but her heart was palpable, right? So the misidentification with ourselves as our belief structures is one of the things that has driven so much anger on the planet. It's created many, many wars, right? We defend our beliefs as if that's protecting our very survival, defending them the way we would our bodies, and it creates an enormous amount of destruction. So being able to recognize that as golden and being able to transform that into understanding and compassion is very powerful. Thank you, Kansas.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to chime in before we close up the call for the night? Well, Lori, wherever you are, thank you for being such a good sport and playing along. And you too, James, and those who contributed, Kansas. We'll be back next week from 5 to 6 Pacific time. And again, if you want more information, all of these Heart Start calls we do are archived and recorded. And you can find them at our website, where you can download them for free if you go to www.sierra.com/heartstart.html. And I look forward to joining you next week or seeing you or hearing you in one of our webinars or classes, and have a wonderful week in the heart. We always like to pay it forward at the end of these calls, so we end where we start, just putting attention in the area around the heart, activating a quality of gratitude or appreciation, maybe for something you heard tonight that was supportive to you, and allowing that to extend to someone that you know or love or a place or a person in the world that you think could benefit from this information, and just radiating your care and whatever you received tonight through your heart to that person or that place. Thank you all so much, and have a beautiful night. I look forward to joining you again next Monday night. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Take care.
Good night.